So 2 weeks ago, I did something that embarrasses me. I didn't finish. I didn't finish what I wanted to say. I can always wrap it up. Were you here 2 weeks ago? I didn't finish. Embarrassment. Oh, ego on my face. You know, it's this amazing story. And there's, you know, you see, what happens is we were born into a perfect world. God gave us everything. He says, you're perfect. I love you the way you are. You're walking around naked and no one cares. You're perfect. And we said, we want more. It's not enough. I want a little more. Did anybody win the billion and a half? Did I win? Someone will tell me. My friend Tiffany will tell me. If I won, she'll know, right? I'm on tape. Well, I got no call, so I assume I didn't. Oh, well, I'm a thousandaire anyway. But with that billion and a half, would that be enough? Maybe. Never. What did John D. Rockefeller say? How much more money do you need? He said, what? One more dollar. I need one more. So there we are. We're the same. We're in the garden. We have everything we need. God gives you control of everything. You have all that fresh fruit to eat. You got a beautiful woman. You got this perfect thing. And we said, can we have a little more? God says, what do you need more for? You got me. Well, we don't want you. We want more. So we sinned and we're kicked out of the garden. But God always promises, I'm going to bring you back one day. I'm going to bring you back to the garden someday. Not today. It's going to be someday, isn't it? When's it going to be? We've been waiting around. And through it all, God shows himself to all the people. He shows himself through the prophets and all the miracles he'd done. He takes the people out of Egypt. They see the waters part and they get on the other side of the water and they say, where's the food? I saw the waters part, saw the blood over the door. I see all the plagues and now we're free, but where's the food? We're thirsty. He gives them food. We don't like this food. We want different food. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. We don't want that. We're afraid of him. We want to go back to Egypt and have pots of meat. We want to go back. But through it all, God's with him. I promise you one day, somebody new is coming. Somebody, the Messiah will come one day. And so the people are taken away in captivity and Jerusalem has been destroyed. And so the people are living as outcasts in this city. And there's a man named Daniel and he has that beautiful vision. And an angel appears to him. We've seen many, many angels, haven't we? 56 times we see them. But they're never given a name. And this is what I got stuck on, as you know. It just stuck in me. I got to tell everyone. I told my friend Chuck, and I told the plumber, Mark Freeze, the other day. He's Baptist, but he listened to my story. And so we're talking about Gabriel. And he's like, that's pretty interesting. And so we see that there's a vision from heaven. God sends Gabriel, and he said, this angel has a name. And he says, in approximately 487 years, if you can wait, the Messiah is going to come. He's going to atone for your sins. He's going to forgive your sins. And you know what you're going to do to him? The angel says, you're going to kill him. He's going to be killed in the year 33 AD. In April is what Gabriel says. And that's what happened, wasn't it? So we look at these people like Mary and Zechariah. And so in the time of Zechariah standing around, and we see the end of the book of Malachi. And Malachi says, you know what? One day God says, I'm going to send Elijah back. He's going to prepare the way. We're going to sing that song on Wednesday night. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Get ready for him. Elijah's coming back. So the Jewish people, they would read this, and they would sit there, and they would leave a place at the dinner table for Elijah because he's coming back one day. 400 years later, there's no prophets. And we see a man named Zechariah is in the temple, and it's his turn. He's so excited. He gets to become, because there was 5,000 priests, so him to get, they did some gambling. They bet on who's going to get to light the candles today. Joe lights them every week. Back then, that was the real privilege, Joe. They would cast lots, say, who gets to do this blessing? And so he won. So he's in there. He's so happy. He's lighting the candles, and an angel appears. And the angel says, my name's Gabriel. And everyone knows what that means. It means it's on. You know what that feels? When you see Gabriel coming, who's coming next? The Messiah's coming. And you're going to have a son who's going to be the Elijah. And Zechariah is old like me. He's like, how can this happen? She's old, I'm old. He says, well, trust me, Anything is possible with God. You're going to have one. He reverses the curse. We see that with Abraham and Sarah. They can't have children. And so God says, you're going to have one. Trust me, you're going to have one. You're 100 years old and she's 90. Trust me, you're going to have one. That shame of Sarah not having a child, the barrenness is lifted. Same here, Elizabeth. She can't have a child. She's barren all these years, and now God says you're going to have one. Not only that, good news, better news, it's going to be a son. Because in the Jewish times, it was everyone would come to the house when you're ready to have a child. When a son was born, they would sing and they would dance. But when a daughter was born, they would go, and walk away sad. You've come a long way, baby, right, Virginia Slims? We rejoice at y'all, don't we? We still smoke those? Sue, we still smoking those behind the garage? No. I'm sorry to pick on you. It's coming. He's going to reverse the curse. God's going to keep his promise. He promises that the women will never be barren. If you're faithful in your righteousness, that you will have a child. And so this is going to be a child, and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then Mary's there, and she's sitting up there in Nazareth about 60 miles away, and she's minding her own business. She's a young girl. She's going to get married soon. And then who appears? Gabriel. She knows her Bible. What does she know, Joey? She knows the Shema, right? Remember the Shema? She knows it by heart. She's been taught. She would wake up every morning and say this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And these words which I commend to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit down, when you walk by. Every single day, three times a day, they would say the Shema. That's from Deuteronomy. She knows the Bible. She's been taught. She may not have learned to read, but she was sitting there over there and she was overhearing. She knows the Bible. She knows who's coming. She knows who Elijah is, and she knows when Gabriel comes, he's going to announce the Messiah. And who appears in her presence? Gabriel shows up. Says, "Don't be afraid. You're going to have a child." She says, "Uh-oh, this can't happen. I'm not married, right? I can't be drunk. It's not 12 o'clock yet, right? It's 12 o'clock somewhere, but right. So how can I have a child? This can't happen." But he says it will. So she goes, and she doesn't know what to do. So she goes to see. She kind of hides, doesn't she? She goes to see Elizabeth over there in the hill country of Judea, somewhere maybe around Jericho, because if he's a priest, Zechariah, he has to live near Jerusalem. So he goes there. Oh my, I'm not going to finish again, Joey. But I wanted you to know the story, because here's what I want you to know, is that God keeps his promises. It's a little late. Maybe it takes a while. They're in the garden. I promise you one day I'm going to send someone to destroy evil. And it's going to be 2,000 years from then. That's a long time. And we're still waiting for him to come back, aren't we? When's he coming? It can't be soon enough. When's he going to bring that Jerusalem down and dry up the oceans? Donna didn't like that part when we said that God's going to come and dry up the oceans, because we like the oceans. But what's in the ocean? Can you control the ocean? It's pretty scary. What's in the ocean? It's death for us. But it'll be dried up. The only thing that will be left is life. And Satan, the evil one, will be destroyed. He'll be thrown in a lake of fire and will walk with God. He's going to keep his promises. And so we see this young lady. All right, here we go again. Five. I don't know why I do this to myself. Because if you come to my Bible study class, Friday's at 10 o'clock, but not this week because of Christmas. But we'll do it next week right after New Year's. But it's when I sit down with folks and get to tell them this story, whether I'm in the supermarket or in the union job, I get to tell people about Jesus and this, how God keeps his promise. He's making things right. We talked about Pentecost, right? We're really going off track. What did Pentecost do? It's not that we can speak in tongues now, but it reversed the curse. The curse where we couldn't understand each other. We were too proud. God split us up, giving us different language. On Pentecost, he says, "I'm bringing you back together. I'm ending that curse. I end the curse of the barren woman. All women will know children and have children. Not maybe not physically, but you will be part of the family of God. When you need a son, you have one." When Jesus is dying, he tells John to take care of my mother. That's your mother now. You have a son. It's John. He take care of my mother. And so we see the presence of God there. In Gabriel, telling Mary, you're going to bring the Messiah. She knows what he's there for. It's about the Messiah. She's heard this. And what does she do? Let's hear what she says. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their utmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. We call this lovely thing the Magnificat, right? The Latin word for her saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. But what does she do seven times? This is a little girl who can't read, and she quotes the Bible seven times. She knows her stuff. So she knows who he is. She knows what's happening. You get the thing? You get it? She knows it's Gabriel. This is happening. It's the Messiah, and it's coming through me, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to change the world. This son of hers is going to change the world. He's going to bring about a revolution of, I'm going to close with this, a moral revolution. We're going to live for Christ, get rid of our pride, and live for Jesus. Can you imagine a world where we do that? We wouldn't be on beaches shooting innocent people if we live for Christ, not for what we want. Social change. It means no one is worthless. He fills everyone with the food. He brings down rulers from their thrones. Everyone is worth something. We're going to feed the hungry, he says. There's going to be an economic change. We're going to clothe the naked. We're going to put hats and scarves and gloves and coats on kids that need them. We feed the hungry here in Cecil County. We visit the sick. We visit the dying. We bury the dead. We love the living. Things are going to change because of Christ, all right? That's what we're celebrating this week. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We wish there's not enough time in the day to praise you. There's not enough time to call on your holy name. There's not enough time just to revel in your love, to know who you are, that know that you keep your promises, that you will make a new paradise one day. You will make a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and earth, a new creation. We are new in you. We thank you for this celebration of your birth of your son so that we could see God in flesh, in human form. What is he like and how does he feel? And he tells us. He comes and he tells us with his own words. And we hear them, we know that we can be changed. That by believing in him, believing in Jesus, that we will be with you forever. All the sickness and all the things that we see around us today will be wiped away forever and ever. I pray you remember that this week and each and every day. As we go in love and go in peace, and we go in the name of Jesus, who is Lord. Amen.